Coming up next, we bring you the sound of an event that took place in Portland on the 1st of November 2024 at Oregon Health and Science University, OHSU, organized by Portland Healthcare Workers for Palestine. It was part of a national action by healthcare workers in cities around the world to demand that their hospitals and health systems take urgent and immediate action to protect healthcare workers in Gaza.
We're going to begin by a reading of the open letter, the petition that healthcare workers are signing. And as I mentioned, it's authored by Doctors Against Genocide, a national group. And we'll be followed after that. Two speakers from our local health community are going to talk about what's now being called medicide, another form of the genocide that is happening in Lebanon and in Gaza. The destruction of the healthcare system.
As healthcare workers and leaders who are committed to the protection of life and health, it is our responsibility to address the urgent and escalating crisis in Gaza and Lebanon. Hospitals are being bombed in Gaza and in Lebanon as we speak, with healthcare facilities reduced to rubble. We have seen the destruction of nearly every hospital in Gaza, the incarceration, torture, and killing of healthcare professionals, and the horrific scenes of patients tethered to IV lines, murdered or burned alive in their beds. Children have been maimed and shot by snipers, their bodies riddled with bullets, and are being systematically starved. The very foundation of healthcare in Gaza is being systematically dismantled. Recent reports confirm that medical missions are now banned from entering Gaza, and the northern part of Gaza is being completely shut down. No journalists, no doctors, no food, no fuel, and no aid are being allowed in. These severe restrictions have made it impossible to deliver even the most basic medical services. According to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, over 1,000 healthcare workers have been killed, and hundreds more have been illegally detained and currently in prison. Every hospital has been bombed, and the health system is in total collapse.
As healthcare leaders, we urge you to issue statements demanding the following. Number one, stop bombing hospitals and attacking healthcare and aid workers. We demand an immediate halt to all bombings and attacks on hospitals, healthcare facilities, and aid workers. These spaces and personnel must be protected under international law, and the ongoing destruction must end. Number two, call for the protection of children in Gaza and Lebanon. No child should ever be a victim of war under any circumstances. The safety and security of children must be respected at all times, with no exceptions. It is our collective moral duty to protect the most vulnerable, ensuring their right to life, peace, and dignity in every corner of the world. Number three, call for an immediate and permanent ceasefire and an end to the ongoing genocide to allow health operations to resume. A ceasefire is essential to stabilize health operations, treat the wounded, and prevent further unnecessary loss of life. Number four, support a comprehensive and immediate embargo on weapons to Israel and divestment to stop the mass slaughter of civilians and destruction of healthcare. The continued supply of weapons has transformed hospitals and healthcare facilities into battlegrounds where healthcare workers and patients are being brutally targeted. These weapons are not just instruments of war, they are tools of mass devastation, driving the slaughter of civilians and the obliteration of essential healthcare services. Number five, advocate for unrestricted humanitarian and medical access to Gaza. Immediate delivery of essential medical supplies, such as antibiotics, surgical tools, and trauma care resources, must be ensured. Preventing access to healthcare is a violation of medical ethics and humanitarian principles. Number 6, establish healthcare education and training at your institution for patient-facing staff to provide informed care to patients affected by war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. This training should include a focus on the impacts of racism, occupation, apartheid, and settler colonialism on health, especially in the context of Palestine. Offering this clinical training aligns with the 6 key principles of trauma-informed care, as outlined by SAMHSA and the CDC, and represents a best practice in patient care. We also emphasize that censoring voices that speak out against this genocide is antithetical to our medical and nursing oath. As healthcare professionals, we are committed to saving lives and standing against injustice. Silencing those who advocate for the end of atrocities goes against the very principles of our professions.
The demands above are consistent with international humanitarian law, U.S. federal law, and the 4 canonized principles of medical ethics. We ask you, as leaders in healthcare, to join us in urging Congress and the Senate to take immediate action by calling and emailing elected officials. The deliberate bombing of hospitals, the targeting of healthcare workers, and the systematic destruction of medical services must be stopped. Not another child should suffer, starve, be amputated, or lose their life due to this ongoing genocide. Additionally, we ask for your support in bolstering the efforts of our organizations and the medical community in Gaza and Lebanon. The need is urgent and immense, and we cannot meet it alone. We need your help to provide care, save lives, support medical and nursing students, and rebuild healthcare infrastructure that has been shattered. Supporting our efforts is not just about providing aid, it's about ensuring that healthcare workers can continue their sacred mission of healing in the face of unimaginable adversity. Now is the time to act. Your leadership can make the difference. The signed organizations are Doctors Against Genocide, Eyewitnesses Gaza, Healthcare Workers for Palestine, Health Workers for Palestine UK, Human Dignity Project, Medical Students for Justice in Palestine, and Nurses Against Genocide.
We're here again as Healthcare Workers for Palestine, Portland chapter, taking part in a national campaign to petition all of our healthcare leaders to speak out against the genocide that's happening in Gaza, the war that is beginning to look like a genocide in Lebanon, and we're urging healthcare institutions to use their authority, their moral authority and voice to speak out. We're now going to have 2 presentations from local healthcare workers. The first will be Mustafa, who is a physician and local healthcare provider who's been very active for a long time on health advocacy, on political advocacy for human rights, and on helping those who have been injured in this genocide.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you. I stand before you today on a campus that has been both a place of learning and a source of deep conflict for me. Oregon Health and Science University had been my home through pre-med, medical school, and residency. Yet in this very place, where healing is supposed to be at the core of our mission, I have faced painful instances of hate and discrimination. I was called a terrorist by an active trauma surgeon while working in a trauma lab. As a medical student, I was openly targeted by a physician who denied Palestinians the fundamental right to self-determination. And as a resident, another physician made it clear he opposed the building of a mosque in his neighborhood. These incidents reflect the deep-seated anti-Arab and anti-Muslim sentiments that plague our institutions and mirror the very systems that allow the atrocities in Gaza to persist. Experiences pale in comparison to the horrors unfolding there, but they highlight one undeniable truth. OHSU, like so many other institutions here, is complicit in the global structure of oppression. Iraqi, I have personally borne witness to the atrocities committed by this very country and my people. I have lost tens of family members, some during my time here at OHSU, yet not once did I hear a word of condolence from my residency program. The deafening silence from my colleagues and the institution that trained me to care for others has been one of the most painful realizations. It serves as a reminder that the systemic disregard for Arab and Muslim lives extends far beyond Gaza. It is here in our own backyards, in our own hospitals, in our classrooms, and in our clinics. And I know many of you are part of OHSU, and I urge you to make your voices heard, because systemic change is not just needed. It is our duty. And let me be absolutely clear. What we are witnessing in Gaza is a genocide. This is not hyperbole, this is fact. The ethnic cleansing of Palestinians has been in motion for decades. But today we are witnessing it in real time, heavily documented and undeniable. The apartheid state of Israel, emboldened by the United States, has been given free rein to execute its violent campaign of eradication against an entire people. Many international bodies have reported that Israel's apartheid regime is designed to systematically oppress Palestinians through policies of discrimination, forced displacement, and land expropriation. And the sheer magnitude of violence is incomprehensible. Thousands of children, men and women have been murdered, with entire families wiped from existence. Over 900 families have been erased from Gaza's civil registry. Healthcare workers, people who should be protected under the Geneva Conventions, have been deliberately targeted. Hundreds of doctors and nurses have been killed. And the hospitals they once served have been bombed into rubble. The voices of doctors who have served in Gaza bear witness to these atrocities. Dr. Mads Gilbert, a Norwegian surgeon who has worked in Gaza during some of its darkest moments, described the overwhelming influx of injured civilians during bombings. He recalls that 80% of those being treated were civilians, many of them children. He says it is unbearable. It is beyond imagination. Dr. Ghassan Abu Sitta, a Palestinian plastic surgeon who regularly travels to Gaza to treat the wounded, reported that the injuries they see are not random. They are the result of indiscriminate bombing designed to maximize civilian casualties. Dr. Muhammad Sabah, a Palestinian doctor and graduate of OHSU, who has worked relentlessly during multiple wars in Gaza, has recounted some of the most brutal injuries imaginable. In his testimony, he spoke of treating children who had lost entire families in a single strike. He described the helplessness of trying to take care of hundreds of critically injured people with limited supplies and under constant bombardment. We are running out of everything, medicine, fuel, space in the morgues, and yet the bombs keep coming. He said what is happening in Gaza is not just a crisis. It is a calculated destruction aimed at erasing a people. Dr. Munna Al-Farra, a Palestinian doctor and human rights activist, has seen entire hospitals bombed to the ground. She testified that ambulances are routinely targeted, denying the wounded any hope of survival. These are the voices of those who have dedicated their lives to healing but have been forced to work in conditions where the sanctity of human life is completely ignored. And what is happening in Gaza is not just an attack on Palestinians, but on humanity itself. According to Nathan Lean, the Islamophobia industry is a well-funded machine designed to fuel hate and dehumanize Muslims. These systemic biases are reflected in every corner of our society, from our media to our politics, and yes, even in the very institutions meant to serve and heal. The system This system thrives on our silence, but it fears our collective voice. Our voices are the only tools we have left, and now is the time to use them. We need you to speak up. We need you to demand change, and we need you to refuse to be complicit in the oppression of any people, anywhere. We must rise and confront the powers that allow such atrocities to occur, here and abroad. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm really grateful to get to stand with the wonderful activists and healthcare workers here. Thank you, Mustafa, for sharing your experiences, Doctor. So I had the privilege of spending 3 months volunteering in Palestine from late January through the end of April, 2.5 months in the West Bank as a humanitarian solidarity activist, in the last 2 weeks of April in Rafah, volunteering as an ER nurse at Al-Najjar Emergency Department. Here in Portland, I'm a practicing ER nurse, sometimes work in the ICU. I'm queer, I'm Jewish, and I brought those identities along with me. I want to highlight that while I was invited to speak about my time in Gaza, that the genocide in Palestine is not limited to Gaza. It's not limited to the last 291 days. It's been going on for decades, for generations. And while in this moment it moves a little bit slower and differently in the West Bank and in 1948, what most of the world regards as the state of Israel, it is no less serious and no less violent. Looks in many ways like the land theft, resource theft, murder, and isolation and alienation experienced by many of the First Peoples of Turtle Island and of other colonized peoples around the world. And so to me, to stand in solidarity with Palestinians means standing in solidarity with all colonized people, with all indigenous peoples around the world. But when I had the opportunity to go to Gaza, I went with a group called GLIA. Originally, I was very anxious about the idea of going to Gaza, and that's why when I had the opportunity to spend time volunteering in Palestine, I went to the West Bank because I had volunteered there before. I knew that, you know, there's a lot of violence being perpetrated against Palestinians there, and I could, you know, try to have a role. But the only images I was seeing of Gazawi healthcare workers was of people being held at gunpoint, bombed, and I just didn't see myself taking that degree of risk. But as time went on and I learned more, I decided that it was worth the risk for the opportunity to stand with the Palestinian healthcare workers fighting for their own survival and for the survival of their communities. And I'm so, so grateful. I look up to and honor and cherish and treasure the care workers I got to work with at Al-Najjar and in Rafah. I did see, even in my short period of time, some of the violence experienced by healthcare workers. In some cases, most of our staff were already displaced from other parts of Gaza. I'd say maybe 2/3. Some had been held up at gunpoint repeatedly, forced to take shelter at Al-Shifa Hospital, Al-Nasser Hospital. I should have located this more. This was like in the moment in which Rafah was the last city in Gaza that had not yet experienced ground invasion. So we did have some semblance of intact healthcare infrastructure, although it was severely inhibited by the trade embargo, by missile strikes, by drones going 24/7. But there was still some structure, some semblance of stability. Some, you know, children playing outside, that kind of thing. But at the same time, almost everyone, like most of the city, was displaced. I did see some of the direct impacts of violence perpetrated against children, against healthcare workers, in missile strikes and shootings. But what I want to share about more is actually the impacts on the public health disaster that was Rafah at that moment and that continues to be. because the vast majority of my patients were not shot or bombed. The vast majority were starving, dehydrated, sick with hepatitis A because of no lack of healthy water, sick from chronic illnesses because they didn't have their medications, children dying of very preventable illnesses like hypokalemia, or a child who was in status epilepticus because he had been off of his anti-seizure medications for months. And just getting to stand with the healthcare workers who sleep in tents and then come out to work for multiple 24-hour shifts a week, just trying to do what they can to keep their community alive. And then I left, and a week later, the Israelis invaded Rafah and closed every hospital and healthcare institution in the city. Some they destroyed outright, some they looted and ransacked. All of them were shut down. I did see a photo of Al-Najjar that it stands currently. I don't know its condition, and there is an intention to rebuild. It's very clear that the efforts of the Israeli genocide and occupation of that land are designed to replace and displace people, if not murder them outright. So I cannot blame, but definitely have so much pride and respect for the care workers and members of the public who choose to stick around and try to rebuild, inshallah. I wanted to read before I go, when I, the first protest I had the chance to attend when I came back to the States, I wrote to Dr. Al-Attar, who was a former director of all emergency services in Gaza. He was also my upstairs neighbor at the house that we were sheltering at. And I asked him what he would like shared at the demonstration that I was going to. And it was so well worded. I've just, every opportunity I've had to speak since, I've wanted to read it. I asked, if given an opportunity, is there anything you'd like me to tell the people here? Dr. Al-Attar says, tell them that we in Gaza love life, but life has no meaning without freedom. Tell them that we consider your solidarity and your standing with our rights to be influential and make a big difference. Tell them that we love and appreciate their support for the Palestinian right to a decent life. We will continue. The Palestinians and all indigenous people who are fighting for their ongoing survival in a world that would deny their existence and right to life, we have to continue. Thank you, everybody.
Please pass the petition on. It's a national, possibly international campaign, and it's really important that we have collective voices in a way that we've just not had before. This is the first time nationally we are speaking out loudly as healthcare workers to end this genocide. The other things in terms of action items are the importance, the imperative that not one more bomb go to Israel. And so arms embargo now. And as that's spoken to in the petition, it can be, it's part of what you'll sign. We're also asking people to contact frequently, daily, all your representatives, our senators, to support the first ever legislation that's going to come to the U.S. Congress to stop weapons to Israel. And that's Bernie Sanders' resolution, joint resolutions of disapproval. And I'm glad to say that Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley is a co-signer of that, and so he should be thanked. It's just the first step. It stops a $20 billion arms sale. It's a good first step, and we're calling for a complete and total arms embargo on Israel. Because, as was mentioned, this did not start 391 years ago. Israeli policy and U.S. complicity enablement has gone on for too long, and this is what we need to do to speak out to stop it. But I wanted to end just a short poem. I think it's important to end with a Palestinian voice. This is a poem called In Gaza, A Mother Never Sleeps, and it's by Nima Hassan, a mother in Gaza. A poet in Gaza. listens to the dark, searches its edges, sorts out sounds, sound by sound, to select a suitable story to read her kids to sleep. When they sleep, she stands up to shield them from death. A mother in Gaza does not cry. She folds up fear, rage, and prayers in her lungs and waits for the hum of warplanes to fade, then exhales. A mother in Gaza is not like other mothers. She bakes bread with her own eyes' salt. She feeds her children to the homeland.
You've been listening to the voices of healthcare workers in Portland, Oregon, at an event held November 1st, 2024. The event called on OHSU to take action to protect healthcare workers in Gaza and to call for an end to Israeli targeting of healthcare workers. Recent reports confirm that medical missions are now banned from entering Gaza, and the northern part of Gaza is being completely shut down. No journalists, no doctors, no food, no fuel, and no aid have been allowed in since October 5th. According to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, over 1,000 healthcare workers have been killed and hundreds more have been illegally detained and are currently imprisoned. Every hospital in Gaza has been bombed and the health system is in total collapse. More than 20,000 children have been killed. Hundreds of thousands have been displaced multiple times, and the entire Gaza Strip is now facing starvation.